The year of excellence, I ask you people, and I ask you again, how many of you have seen the move of God or begin to see the move of God in your life in the area of that, the year of excellence? So what I was saying is what I'm learning and what I've learned and I'm learning still is that although it's dependent on you whether that word comes to pass or not in your life, your involvement or your participation or your, you know, faith makes that word affect you more or less. But here's what I need you to understand. Are you ready for this? It does not affect the move. You're catching that? Can somebody go turn the light and close the door? I just left it on. Thank you. It does not affect the move of God. It affects how your participation or lack thereof only affects how it affects you. In other words, if God said, in this day I will pour out my blessing upon all flesh, he's pouring it out. In other words, when it rains outside, it affects everybody who goes outside. Some go to get wet. Some put up an umbrella. Some run, jump right in the car with a plastic bag over their head. If you just got your hair did. But the move of God is not affected by you. No, you pay attention to what I just said. Because I've heard for so long, and you have too, that God's move somehow is affected or messed up or ruined or somehow doesn't come to pass because of our lack of whatever. Now you're with me? I'm here to report today, not true. God's move, God ain't hindered by you at all. But you affect the way it may, whether it gets to you or not. You can affect the flow of the blessing in your own life, but it doesn't stop the move of God. Now, that's a negative and a very positive. The glass is half empty or the glass is half full. Depend on how you want to look at this right now. Because what I just said sounds very serious and it sounds very atypical of church speech in a way, except for the fact that I made sure I made clear God's not affected by you. You're affected by you. But here's the plus. Who wants the plus? I didn't believe you. Who wants the plus? Okay. Takesha said, me. Okay. The plus is, if God was at point A and he's going to point Z and you haven't got involved and God, say, is now at point D, when you line up, you get right in where it happens to be at the moment. Did you catch that? In other words, if God is growing a harvest for you in a field and you don't go for the first 2 years, that tree's still growing. That vineyard's still growing. When you get there, the fruit still exists. See, the seed of God don't rot. I thought more people would be happy about that than just two. The harvest of God don't decay. So the most you will do is prolong your acquirement of it, but you don't stop the move of it. I don't know about you, but I just want to just flip this pulpit over and run around in a circle right now. The seed of God doesn't rot. Let me give it to you in scripture form in case you think I'm speaking out of turn. All the promises of God are?
Yes.
And?
Amen.
So if God prophesied it over you that this should be you, all the promises are?
Yes.
And?
Amen.
You may delay it. Amen. Thank you so much for your time. That's the message right there. With that, I mean, where do you go from there? Right into worship. Take a moment and do that. You haven't missed anything. It's still there. You just have to line up with it. You just have to get back in place with it. The promises are yea and amen. God is not taking them away. He's not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. It is what he said it is. So I'm at this place in my life where there are things that God spoke over me 30 years ago that started punching me in the chest a year ago. And God began to say, so when are we going to have this? Your life is good, you blessed, you have a good life, you ain't worrying about how to pay bills, everything is fine. But I have a destiny that I spoke over you that's been sitting in the field waiting for you to pick it. So in the past year, I began to align myself seriously, and I would say over the past 6 months, really forward without any distraction, go toward it, and I'm watching this manifestation happen in so many areas of my life so quickly. Businesses that I never thought I would ever be in, you would reap from grounds you did not sow, and people with products are coming to me saying, help me develop my product. And I'm like, I'm not a product development. God said, yes, you are. One of the major corporations in the world asking me to be on their diversity board or advisors or whatever. And all of these things that are opening up, and now the opportunity to be a diversity and inclusion speaker and travel and podcast that somebody wants me to be on. And now somebody, by the way, has spoke to us and said they want to republish and promote Harvest Time, the book. I forgot about it. I've been giving them away. God said, no, now I'm going to promote it. But the whole time I was giving them away, I knew it was seed toward this such a time as this. The seed don't rot in the field. So that book is over a decade old, about to be rewritten. She wants to put it in digital, audio book, all of that. I want to sit down and talk to you about this book. It started, sorry to do this to you, putting you on the spot. It started because God made me be obedient and invest in a salon, which I didn't want to have anything to do with. Nellie started telling everybody her testimony of how God used me and used the situation to bless her. She started telling them about the book. I started telling her, give the book to people. They start calling saying, we need more copies for friends and family. Why isn't it on Amazon? On and on and on it grows. Being obedient in one area opened the door to a harvest in another area. So the key to success is line up with what God is doing. Just get back in. Well, I failed so many times, and I let the Lord down, and I know I should be in a further place. Who am I talking to right now? And God like, I don't care nothing about that mess. I don't care. Would you stop talking to me about how many times you failed? I don't want to have this conversation. Can you get in line with what I called you to? How many years did it take for Abraham to finally line up with the word God spoke? Close to 25. Since God said him and his wife would have a baby before it happened. Ishmael's and all included. Giving his wife away twice, taking Lot in the whole Lot fiasco, all of that. But eventually he lined up. And when he lined up, God did something. I don't know if you're ready for this stuff. He comes to him and he says, okay, I'm going to fix this, Mikey. He said, I'm going to fix this for you. But here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to put you to sleep. Remember? He put Abraham to sleep. He had Abraham split the offering. Then he knocked him out. And God walked through it alone. To keep you from messing it up. This time, I'm going to move you over here. So if you feel like God's pushing you out of your thing right now, maybe he's just trying to get you out the way so he can complete what he wanted to start in the beginning. Don't be discouraged. But be still. And if God's telling you to take a nap, stop trying to take no doze and stay awake. Just take a nap. Throw away your Red Bull and just take the nap. Can we have this conversation? Who am I talking to today? So God began to show me when I make a promise, my promises are set in stone. I don't vacillate. I promised the Savior. I promised he was coming. Israel sinned and fell, and this king and that king, and out of all the kings, maybe three of them acted right. And all the rest of them acted wrong and served foreign gods and married foreign women and did everything God told them not to do and worshiped idols and built wrong temples and everything that should have put them totally outside of the covenant promise of God. When you just read the first and second Kings, you start to have a different appreciation for God's patience and mercy, because he kind of wiped them out with the flood, and they went right back to being funky. Whole new family, as soon as they hit the ground, one brother killed the other. Just, wherever the story goes. Here's what I start to look at. I was talking to you for the past couple of weeks about why would he call David a man after his own heart with all of his flaws and shortcomings? And God began to show me his repentance. I was talking to my friend Sonia yesterday, and she made a statement which spoke to me. Same line of what I'm saying, but just the way she explained it made so much more sense. Made it simpler. She said, the word that stuck out for her was after, in pursuit of. A man after God's heart. A man in pursuit of my heart. Not a man perfect, not a man right, not a man that gets everything the way it's supposed to be, but a man in constant pursuit. Chasing after my heart. I said, well, God, that's why you keep blessing me. Because that's me. I thought I would get a little few amen on that. You're some grimy moes. I thought I would hear a few... I'm a man after God's heart. Man, I'm chasing that heart. Man, I'm a man after God's heart. In all my breath and everything, I'm after the heart of God. Not perfect, not always right, but Lord, after your heart. And God seems to overlook all the screw-ups of David because of his pursuit. And as I read through the Old Testament and started going through it, I began to see another thing. And that other thing was God's biggest complaint, even in the area of adultery, was not the one that the church liked to make a big deal of, the husband and wife thing, which is serious. But God's problem with adultery was you committing adultery against him and serving other gods. If you get that one right, the other one should be fine. We want to keep working on the flesh levels and not deal with the spiritual issue. God's concern was you put other gods before me. You worship another god. And so I watched him even honor Solomon. Man should leave his father and his mother, and he should cleave to his wife. That's the word in the beginning in Genesis. Then how does Solomon have 700 wives and 900 porcupines? And God still honors him as the man of wisdom and the wisest man of all. How do you get that title? You look like an idiot to me. I don't even know why you would want that many women. No disrespect, but come on. 900? Come on. So God seems to have a different focus, and his focus is on purity of heart. And his promises stay continued even when you fall off. He doesn't. No, God don't bless no man. Oh, God don't like ugly or this church mess. Even when we're faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny himself. So here's the message I want to get across today. Are you listening? God's plan for you hasn't changed. God's promises over you haven't changed. God's destiny for you hasn't changed. You may have even gotten off course. But once you sign back in, because he's never stopped moving, you can catch up right where you left off and beyond. With that said, go back to Ephesians chapter 1 where we left off, and let's look at that one more time. Last week we said God is not a stranger. This week we say God has not forgotten. You'll sing the song. God has not forgotten. He hasn't forgotten one promise that he's made to you. He hasn't forgotten one covenant that he's made with you. He hasn't forgotten one scripture that he's promised healing, deliverance, prosperity, anything that he's promised you in his word, he hasn't forgotten it. The song says God has not forgotten, he knows my name. I'm like, yeah, that ain't enough. Forget my name. I don't care if you forget my name. Remember your covenant to me. Call me whatever you want to call me. Just remember your covenant with me. Are you catching that? I don't care if you know my name. Remember your covenant with me and help me remember it so that I stay faithful to it. So let's bring this home. The scripture said God's a covenant-keeping God for 1,000 generations. It's longer than that. But he gave you a number that you can work with. You know you ain't going to be around long enough to even know about 1,000 generations. So, if you keep covenant and you pass it to your next generation, then the 1,000 years starts over from them. And 50 generations in, if they stay true to the covenant, then that 1,000 years goes on again. So it's not 1,000 generations, it's endless generations, but it starts with the covenant he gave to you, and it follows through each generation, and each generation gets a new 1,000. They don't have to pick up from where you left off. Amen. Got it? So now, we went over this last week. Let's look at it again. from the point of God hasn't forgotten. God, I love when you do this with me. Just give me a whole revelation with the same scriptures, a whole new revelation with the same scriptures. Here it is. Starting at verse 3, Ephesians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight in love. So we went over all the blessings in the heavenly realm last week. Not going to go over those again. Look over last week's message. God's not a stranger. Verse 4. For he chose us in him. For he chose us in him. For he chose us. Say, for he chose me. God chose me. Not the family. Not the church. But me directly. Okay, not the body of Christ, but you. Say, God chose me. Say, it's a personal thing between me and God. This is how church can get dangerous, because they start trying to clone everybody and make everybody act the same and walk the same and talk the same, and we don't speak that and that, but that, that, you know, and hallelujah 50 times when you pray. That's how God really hears you. When you get a lot of hallelujahs and Father God's all up in it. Have you ever been to a church and everybody prays exactly the same? Yes. Like everybody prays the same. However the leadership prays, everybody prays like that. No individuality at all. But I digress. That's not my point. Here's my point. He chose you in him. Now I need you to understand this. This is premeditated and preconceived. You ready? Yep. You ready?
Yes.
You ready?
Yes.
Before the world was created. You're not getting it. You're not getting it the way I want you to get it. God chose you before the world was created. Sophie caught it. He picked you before creation was even there. He chose you by name before your mama and your great grandmama and anybody was born, before there was a tree, before there was a bird. See, we thought he created the earth, and then he made the wind, and then he made the seed, and he made the dry land, and he made a plant, then he made a bug, and then he made a bee, then he made a cow, and then he made a horse, and then he made a zebra and a unicorn, and now let us make man. But the scripture said he chose you before he did any of that. This is where it gets real. Say, I'm pretty important. Are you feeling? I'm getting chills. Are you feeling what I'm saying? He chose you before any of that went down. Chose you, though. No. I'm going deeper with it. Chose you, Takesha, Mikey, Sheldon, Jackie, Linda, Mike, Rhonda, Lindsay, Angela, Sherry, chose you specifically.
Hallelujah.
Not as a group. Individually.
Amen.
Before the world was even created.
Hallelujah.
So when I say things like the plan keeps going whether you in it or not, he chose you whether you would ever choose him back or not. You were chosen to be saved before the world was even created. And he had it in place. All you had to do was jump in the water. It was ready. So your salvation is not an accident. Oh, I just got saved. I just got, my friend invited me. Praise God. God, like before there was even a planet, your salvation was already there waiting for you. So, he chose you in him before the foundation of the world to be what? To be holy and blameless. How is that so when I've been blameful, if that's the word, and unholy all my life? I've been blamable, blameful, and unholy as unholy can be. But he chose me before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. You didn't catch that. He said, but I chose you to be that the way I see you. How you saw yourself and what you did with is not my problem. I chose you in me. I want to introduce you to the real God, if it's okay. I don't want to talk about the church God. I don't want to talk about the religious God. I want to talk about the real God that had so much love that he planned to die for you even before the world even existed. Every mistake you would ever make, he laid out a redemption plan before you were even thought of, before there was a man to even think about. Your little issues starting to look real small right now, aren't they? Your little concerns starting to look real petty and minuscule right now, aren't they? So I understand now what the scripture means by his kindness leads me to repentance, because I'm realizing, wait a minute, your kindness goes beyond the fact that you blessed me with a new job last week and the stupid stuff that we get all excited about. Your kindness is before the foundation of the world. Some of you are going to wake up tomorrow and get this. So he chose me before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love. So he chose me in love. And he chose me in love to see me through the eyes of love and not see the wrong. I'm like, God, I have trouble not seeing the wrong. You do me wrong. I have trouble not seeing that. But God can. But God can. But he can. He's like, I don't even see you wrong. I see you holy and blameless. I'm talking to y'all right now. He said God picked you before the foundation of the world. Right now, he sees you holy and blameless. Right now. Not someday. Not someday. Right now. And before the foundation of the earth. Well, I don't feel I line up with that. Well, just line up with it, because there it is. As I started this message by saying, the plan goes on even before you jumped in it. Just because you didn't jump in the pool, don't mean the water ain't in there. It's there. The lake is filled with the water. Just because you didn't swim don't mean that the water's dry. It just means you haven't felt the wet yet. But it's there. Say, all the promises of God are what? I don't change, he said. So say this. God sees me holy and blameless. So I see me holy and blameless. Oh, that's a good place to give him praise right there. predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. That is another revelation that gets overlooked in preaching. When you read this, it's so poetic and it's so deep sounding that we throw away the simplicity of these truths. He chose us in him before we were even thought of. And predestined, which is still choosing you before, he already had a destiny for you. No, you didn't hear that. Predestined means he chose you and he pre-designated you for a position. You getting it? You didn't have to run for office. You didn't got to get votes. That position was already let. You got it? Yeah. That's like if I start building a company, I say, I already decided you're going to be my VP. And no, I'm not doing interviews. I already picked my people. God is saying, I predestined you to this position as my children. Now, here's what he said. Look at this. Pay attention. Predestined us for adoption to our as my kids through Jesus Christ in accordance with the pleasure, with his pleasure and will. God, how do I say this? To the praise of his glorious grace, which he freely gives us in the one he loves. How do I phrase this? The predestination, the predestination, the calling, the holy, the blameless, the sonship, the daughtership, the whole covenant relationship is done by God. Are you ready? Not through you or about you, but through the one he loves. Let me see if I, let me see if I can make this real baby talk. So God loves me. You can accept this if you want. According to a predestination that he's built on the scale and the filters of the one he loves. Yeah. Okay, let me make it a little simpler. I don't have to worry about if God likes me or not. Because his choice to love me and adopt me wasn't chosen through me and who I am, but through the one he loves. Thank you, Denise, for getting it. So basically, God said, see, I don't even hear about your stinky funkiness. I ain't looking at you anyway. I made this deal through my Christ. I made this deal through my Christ, the Savior that I'm sending for you, that I predestinated him before the foundation of the world, just like I predestinated you. And before I predestinated you, I predestinated him to be your Savior. And I chose to love you and accept you as my children through him before you came and made any mistake. I already had my plan in place. So my love and fierce love for you is predestinated through him. There's no sliding scale. God don't love me a little bit more than he loved you, even though I would like to believe that's true. It's not. Because God don't love me. God loves me through the Christ that he sent for me. Did you catch that? He loves the world through the Christ that he sent for the world. God loves everybody. Through the Christ that he sent and predesignated to bring you into sonship. So now my good behavior and my goodness is a little more stinky. It ain't as cute as I once thought it was. My good works have a little less value now to me. I'm starting to think that maybe even my good walk and my good holy persona has no better than somebody who's barely walking with Jesus. I mean, there's more benefits because I hear him closer and I get closer to him. I obey his word. I see the manifestation of his gifts clearer because I'm in the stream. I'm in the plan and not opposing the plan. So I'm seeing the benefits of the plan. But God said in his word, Jesus gave the example of the man who went to do the vineyard, and he hired the guys in the beginning of the day, and then he hired them in the second hour, half of the day, and then the third half, and then the fourth half, and at the end of the day, he paid everybody equal. And the people of the world said, wait a minute, we work long hours, so did I give you what I promised you? Yes. So how do you feel? You worth more? I paid you what I said. It's my right to pay how I want to pay. So for the person who's not as good a Christian as you, that seem to be blessed more than you, maybe they got their toes in the water better than you. Because people come to the place that they begin to understand and believe, which I'm beginning to understand and believe, that is really nothing about me. The more I do that, the less I struggle. So you love me anyway. So you love me anyway. So you love me anyway. Because you worked it into the system that you would love me through Christ. So you don't even have to smell me. You just smell Jesus and I'm with him. So I smell like Jesus to you. And I look like Jesus to you. And my ways are like Jesus to you. Because you're filtering me through Jesus. If that don't make you want to live right, there ain't no help for you, man. I can't tell you. But even if you don't, he still sees you beautiful. He still loves you. Even if you never get it right, he still loves you. He still sees you beautiful. He still predestined you to be blameless and holy in him. Even when you get it all wrong, he still has predestined before the foundation of the earth that you would be blameless and holy in him. I know what I'm preaching today is fabulous. I said, if nobody don't get this but me, I'll keep this. Who gets this? Who takes this? But God, it took me so long. God, like, what is time to me? What is time to me? I don't know nothing about that. Like I said, showing the time. I don't speak, bro. God, like, I don't speak time. I don't speak time. I don't have a clock. I'm timeless. The river's flowing. Get in or don't. I'll love you either way. You're mine either way. You just miss your own opportunities, but I'm here. But I think that I have to pray and just get back on God's favor. No, you don't get off. You're always in his favor. I'm praying for God's favor. For what? Let me ask you a question. What favor can you pray for? If he picked you before the foundation of the world in him, what favor do you need from God? What more can he do? I want to share today that God loves us. And we bring God down to our level and we try to make his love petty. We try to make God moody. We try to make God irritable. We try to make God frustrated. And we make give God a short attention span. Even when we forget his promise, he does it. Even when he forgets his love and his covenant, he doesn't. And if you look at your life, you can see times that you were far off and God still was keeping that covenant and preserving you so that you could have the opportunity to get back into the place that you're called to be. He's that kind of God. So let's wrap it up. That he freely gives us in Christ, the one he loves. I'm glad that you love me, but I'm even gladder that you love me in the one that you love, in him. Because I know he has no shortcoming. And if you're going to judge me by him, I'll take that over my efforts any day. I don't want to be judged by my merits. I don't want to be judged by my own goodness. I want to be judged by the one he loves and sent for me, predestined. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us with all, couldn't wait to get to this word, wisdom and understanding. And this is where we're stopping today. So let's go through that a little bit. In him we have redemption through his blood. What is redemption? Because we hear that in church, but I find a lot of church people don't know what it means other than redemption in Jesus. Taking back something, buy back. No, it's not saved. Redemption is not necessarily saved. That's church talk. What is redemption? When you go to the store to redeem something, you ain't saving it from sin. Simple talk. You're getting back something that belongs to you. You're redeeming it. You're claiming it back. Or something that belongs to somebody else. If you got the pawn ticket, you can reclaim back whatever you want. So here's reality. The scripture says we have redemption. We sing songs, I've been redeemed. And yet don't know what it is to be redeemed. So, if we've been redeemed according to the definitions that you guys just gave, here's where I want to wrap it up today. What are you redeemed from? I'm ready to hang up. I'm ready to say good day. I'm going to give you a few minutes to just kind of work with that. Now that we know that redeemed is not just a church word that you put in songs, if you're acknowledged redeemed is to purchase something back or to take back something that belongs to you or to take back something that belongs to somebody else, then if that's true, what have you been redeemed from? Church? You love your professor pastor, don't you? Because you can't live this walk if you don't understand what this is. That's just church talk if you don't know what it is. What are you redeemed from and why did you need to be redeemed? The curse of sin. Okay, that's nice. That's
like God taking us back.
Come on now, God taking us back from what?
From the dark.
No, you're not wrong. But I'm making you think and talk about it. Yes, come on, answer my question. What you say, Mike?
Again, in him.
did you hear what he said? For the people online who didn't hear him, because we begin in him. We was created in his image, in his likeness. The plan for your redemption was before you needed to be redeemed. Before the foundation of the earth. He made you his own. He knew you would leave. But the promise, as I started this message, never stopped. When man sinned and fell, God's plan to make you sons and daughters, which he did in the beginning, never stopped. So when we chose the enemy said, they're my kids now. And God said, not so. Because I have a plan that's been flowing before they were even created, that once they step back into that plan, they are now redeemed again, holy again, and blameless again, like they were from the beginning. See, we need to know the meaning of these words. You were redeemed. He brought you back. Back to what? Back to the state of Adam before he ever fell. That's God's view. But wait a minute. Are you sure about that? I just showed you. It says he loves you in him. He sees you in him. In him after I got saved? No, in him before the foundation of the world, when he put the process of redemption in place. God said, you're never going to be off. You're never going to be outside my plan or my will, ever. Because I'm going to always. So when the devil thought he won, the scripture said, if he knew who Jesus was, that he was crucifying the Son of Glory, he would have never done it. Because he would have realized, ah, shucks, when Jesus, he said, ah. I'm sure he didn't say shucks because he's the devil. He cussed. Oh, man, I thought I derailed the plan. But as I said, it's always in place. You may get out of line and you may put yourself in a situation where you're not seeing the flow, but the flow never stops. His mercy never stops. His grace never stops. Prosperity never stops. Divine healing never stops. Your peace and your joy never stops. The answer to the wisdom and insight never stops. The peace and prosperity never stops. The abundance of God never stops. Never takes a holiday. Never takes a vacation. It's always there. The enemy's job is to make you look at yourself. But if you look at the Redeemer, you realize that you were never out of God's will. Just get back in place. Get back in place, because God's will doesn't stop. It doesn't cease to flow. It doesn't let up. What's your place in God's plan? What's your place in God's plan? What's in your wallet? Amen. I love you guys. I hope you ate well.